Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So do not act like you did not have your chance. Hour number one, my voice cracking. I saw Kermit the Frog. I told you there were open phones. I didn't ask you to pick me up because I knew you wouldn't, but you had an opportunity. But you whiffed. And now we go to hour number two, and we go back-to-back with interviews, which is going to make it better. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. My name is Jim Rome. Great to be here. We start hour number two. If you missed hour number one, I did crack open the mic at the top of the program and said, listen, I want to own this outright. I sound like crap. I look pretty good, but I sound horrible. It's not the vid. I don't know what it is. I just have something. But I also told you I've done this long enough to know it can go one of two ways. Either I'm going to warm up, I'm going to get loose and get better and stronger as the show goes on, or this thing's going right off the side of the cliff. And I'm feeling pretty good. All right, telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. As promised, we start hour number two by having a conversation with the head football coach at Missouri. He's entering his third season with the Tigers, one of two coaches in school history to lead the team to bowl games in each of their first two seasons. He led App State to a conference title and a top 20 finish back in 2019. Missouri is going to open up against Louisiana Tech on September 1st. Eli Drinkwitz is my guest. Eli, it's always good to have you on and good to have you back. How are you?
Man, I'm doing better than you are. You sound like crap, but you got an opportunity to display some toughness today, Jim, and that's really what fall camp's all about, isn't it?
Dude, you are the best. That is the greatest thing that a guest has said to me in a long, long, long time. You sound like crap, Rome, but you have an opportunity. That was a legendary response, Eli. I almost want to walk off on that because that in and of itself would already make for one of the best interviews I've ever conducted. You should be very proud of yourself. That was awesome. All right.
Well, I appreciate it.
That's so great.
And I was going to say this too, Jim. I thought you were going to introduce my record, but with the latest allegations against Tennessee, let's hold up on what my record is because I expected to vacate some wins, and that's going to help my record a little bit.
Okay? Oh, man, this is getting better. This is getting so much better. Can I ask you, I wasn't necessarily going to go there, but you would be the beneficiary of that. Since you brought it up, can I get your reaction to the latest allegations against Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I got to question my wife's commitment to winning. You know, I mean, I don't know how much she's committed if she's not engaging in some of these things. I didn't know that was fair play. So, it was a little bit surprising to see the in-depth nature of what was going on there. But I am sure glad that Tennessee was taking some ownership of it, and we'll see what the results are. It's pretty interesting for sure.
My man, if I were you, I'd walk off right now, and then you can go down as the best guest ever. Eli, one more thought about that. It's one thing to say that I didn't know that my wife could get involved and help me cheat. Well, that's not what you said, but I'll say that. Even better that she did. Did she not used to have some sort of compliance responsibility where she had been previously as well? One thing to have the wife involved, but what if she was involved also in compliance and making sure that they followed the rules, allegedly? How much better does that make it?
I mean, it's pressure. You know, pressure does crazy things to people, and there's a lot of pressure to win in the SEC. So that's crazy.
Eli Drinkwitz, my guest, and a great one at that. So I was going to start you off with something else, but that's better. I sound like crap in Tennessee cheats. Anyway, what about this? SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey declared that you are the owner of the largest Jordan shoe collection of any FBS head coach. First off, would you agree with that assessment? And then given how large it is, what are some of your favorite pairs?
First off, I definitely do not have the largest one in the in college football. My man Tony Elliott at Virginia is a definite sneakerhead, and he's got a ton. And my guy Lincoln Riley at USC, they used to be a Jordan school. They got plenty. I've got a decent collection. I think it's been something I've kind of got interested in, and now that I've been able to financially have a little freedom that I can purchase, shoes the way I want to, you just kind of match up your shoes to your outfit and add a little swag to what you're trying to wear that day. That's kind of how I go about it.
I love it. Eli Drinkwitz joining us. He's the head coach at Missouri. All right, so you're going to open up with three non-conference games when SEC play starts. Then you go to Auburn. You're at home against Georgia. Then you go to Gainesville for three straight weeks. Pretty daunting stretch, but so is living in the SEC. What are you learning or looking to learn and establish about your team before you get to the SEC opener?
Well, I mean, playing La Tech, a team that's going to have a brand new coaching staff, you're not quite sure what they're going to do, and then you got to go play at K-State is a huge challenge in and of itself. And so I think for us, I mean, the number one thing we have to do is improve on defense. You know, defense wins championships, and we haven't even been close to a championship-level defense quite yet. And so we've got to improve there. I think the biggest thing for us in showing those signs of improvement would be, you know, there were three games we lost last year where it was either lead or tied in the fourth quarter. We got to have the ability to close out games on defense. And so that's the number one thing we got to improve on in the first three games. And then I think the second thing we got to do is be more explosive offensively. We kind of got into a bunker mentality where we were trying to play not to lose and protect people, and we can't do that. We got to let our quarterbacks go out there and play the game and live on the edge a little bit, be more explosive. And so I think really for me, that's what fall camp is for us, is push the envelope offensively with our quarterback play, and then defensively build that toughness and that consistency that plays at a championship level.
All right, so I love that mindset. Eli Drinkwitz joining us. I love the mindset that we have to be more explosive, that playing not to lose is going to get you beat. But what about this? You're replacing your starting quarterback and a record-setting running back. So what's the mindset offensively in trying to replace key guys like that?
Well, I think that's exactly it. I mean, now I'll say this about our running back, who is a heck of a player. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be really glad that they got him. But going into the season, nobody expected him to be who he was. He got that opportunity. He took advantage of it. And that's what's so beautiful about college football, is it's players taking advantage of opportunities. And that's the same mindset our quarterback's got to have. And we can't play scared at the quarterback position, and I can't call play scared at the quarterback position. I've got to be aggressive. We've got to have an aggressive mindset. I think the other thing, with whoever our quarterback is going to be, you know, we're going to have the ability to let him create. You know, it's the old Bill Parcells quote, man. We're going to give him the ingredients. He gets to cook the meal, you know. And so we're going to let him play to his strengths, have the framework for what we want him to do, but him go out there and create.
We are talking Missouri football. We're talking mindset, too. Something else about mindset. You made the point. I think this is really interesting. Quote, the discipline to compete precedes the discipline to win. Can you break that down for me? What does the discipline to compete look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes like this. Everybody wants to win, right? You want to go out there and win. But it's a discipline that every single play you're going to compete to be your very best. And if you can think about that, like I go out to a practice, I go out to lift weights. Like, yeah, we want to win on Saturdays. But if you don't go out there and compete every single rep today in practice, you're not going to win on Saturdays. And there has to be a discipline to that. Coach Saban, I would say, calls that the process. For us, it's just that discipline to compete, where every single day it all matters and adds up to winning.
You know, on top of that, and I do love that, you need to compete at everything all day, every day, all week in order to have Saturday go the way you want Saturday to go. But then you're looking for a certain type of player, right? You told The Athletic, this generation is one that wants to leave its mark on a place. They're trailblazers. They want to go build colonies on Mars, stuff like that. So it's kind of the same thing for me in college football. This is one of those untapped frontiers. End of quote. Again, another great quote. How do you go about connecting or finding even this generation of trailblazers? How do you make the case also that Missouri is the place where they can trailblaze?
Well, I think, you know, this is a place that hasn't won a national championship. Every major sport, professional sport in the state of Missouri has won a championship. Whether you're talking about Sporting KC, the Cardinals, the Blues, the Chiefs, the Royals, they've all been at the highest level. But the state of Missouri has not won a national championship in any collegiate activity that I'm aware of. And so for me, that in and of itself gives you an opportunity to blaze your own trail. It's been since 2007 since we've won a BCS or New Year's Six bowl game. All right. So again, the opportunity is there to accomplish something that hasn't been done before. And for me, that's kind of what drives me, even in the generation that I'm of. Like when I went, when we were at Appalachian State, you know, we knew that as a Power Five pro, or as a Group of Five program, we had not beaten a Power Five school. We went into North Carolina, went into South Carolina, and did that. We knew that they hadn't been ranked longer than 1 week in their history. We went six straight weeks being ranked and then finished the season ranked. And so those are things that we've identified. It's the same way here. I think you have to figure out what is that thing that hasn't been done before and clearly lay it out to the team and say, hey, this is something we can accomplish. Do y'all want to buy into doing this together?
Eli, one thing you mentioned, generation, I'm glad you did. When you talk about generation, I mean, you're from a different generation. I'm from a different generation. You're dealing with young people. And I would say that people, not only just coaches, but really in any walks of life in terms of leadership, lots of people are quick to say that young people today are selfish or they're self-centered or they don't get it or they don't want to put the time in. What would you say generally about the young people that you are talking to, getting to know, and recruiting? What's the vibe like? Are they so different now than they used to be back in the day, back from the ones you coached at Springdale High School back in the day? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're different, but I think that's from us, that's projecting. We're the one that raised them, so we just raised them in a way that was different than the way we were raised. That goes into a whole different psychology of why it's that way. Yeah, they're absolutely different, but it different doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's different. So you have to embrace the differences, embrace the changes. We're all human. We all want to win at something. We just got to find what makes people tick. And, you know, I think for us, what we've kind of figured out is we got to make sure that they understand winning has its rewards. You know, in college football, you know, different than when maybe they were raised where everybody got a trophy. Man, in college football, winning has its rewards. Mediocre does not. And so we got to make sure we emphasize winning and make sure that they're rewarded when they do that.
Eli, let me ask you this. My guy Ed Milette has got a great saying. Ed says that winning is more fun than fun is fun. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, the fun is in the winning. I know that. And that's the reason why you do it. I think there's something special about a collective group of people coming together for a common goal and then achieving that. That's a different feeling than you have anywhere else. And I do think, too, that the fun that you have in winning is proportional to the struggle that you have to get there. So, like, the bigger the struggle, the bigger the fun is when you get it, when you get the reward of winning. You know, when you beat up a team that you're supposed to beat and the struggle's not all that big of a deal, the fun is, it's more like a relief. But man, when you see that team, you know, in 2020, you just play the defending national champions and they get four cracks of it on the 1 yard line and you beat them at the end, man, there ain't nothing like that feeling.
Eli,
because that struggle was real.
You know it. The struggle is real. The struggle is always real. He's the head football coach of Missouri, entering his third year. They open up against Louisiana Tech on September 1st. Expectations high once again. Eli, I really appreciate you. That was an awesome conversation. Most of all, I appreciate you telling me I sound like crap. However, it's an opportunity to show grit, toughness, and an ability to persevere. So thank you very much for reminding me of that fact, and it's always good to have you on.
All right, buddy. You have a good one. Thanks for inviting me on today.
I loved it. Eli, I always do. You're awesome. Him starting the interview off by agreeing with me that I sound like crap and then volunteering his take on Tennessee was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Like, we could have walked off on those two things and it would have been one of the best interviews I've ever conducted. And I did nothing other than welcome him to the program. Eli is one of a kind. Love talking to him. When we come back, Dan Wetzel will be joining us, and it's funny, Eli set the table for us. I definitely want to get into Tennessee football with Dan Wetzel. That's coming up next. Stay tuned. It is summertime, so what you want to do is kick back with a great cigar. Whether you're looking for cigars for your special occasion or buying cigars to make it a special occasion, Famous Smoke Shop has exactly what you need. With 83 years in the cigar business, Famous Smoke offers the authentic cigar shop experience, expert advice, and an enormous selection of premium cigars, boxes, singles, samplers, and more, all under one roof, all at discount prices. Famous Smoke was even named Best Place to Buy Cigars Online by Cool Material and Cigar World. And every cigar is backed by their 30-day freshness guarantee. So your cigars arrive fresh or you get your money back. Remember, you do not have to be famous to smoke their cigars. To save $10 off your purchase of $50, go to famous-smoke.com. Famous-smoke.com. Use the code ROME10 or text ROME10 to 511-511. Get your favorite cigars, including Romeo, Acid, Macanudo, and more. Text ROME and the number 10 to 511-511 or go to famous-smoke.com today. You may receive up to one additional text. Text fees may apply. Text STOP to opt out.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's one thing for me to say that my previous guest set the table for my next guest, but Eli Drinkwitz just went absolute legend on this show, and even you clones realized the magnitude of the moment. Him coming on and agreeing with me that I sound like crap, but I should use it as an opportunity to show toughness and grit, and then him lighting up Tennessee the way he did was absolutely incredible. Again, we could have walked off on that, and that would have been one of the all-time great interviews on the program. But he, in fact, did set the table for my next guest. We're joined right now by a Yahoo Sports columnist. On top of that, he is a New York Times bestselling author. He is the executive producer of Killer Inside, Aaron Hernandez, Netflix doc. If you have not seen that, you should. It's awesome. Author of the Epic Athlete series, co-host of the College Football Inquirer, still our nation's foremost Bush Light enthusiast, and I consider him a good friend of the program. He is Dan Wetzel. Dan, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Not easy to follow Coach Drinkwitz, though.
Oh, man, you wouldn't even believe. You probably didn't hear it. He was out of his mind. He was incredible. And it leads us the best. All right, so it leads us into this. Like, I want to get into conference realignment with you in a moment, but why don't we pick up the conversation that he actually started? I want to talk to something that was actually a little under the radar last week, but no longer. The news that Tennessee was hit with a notice of allegations regarding 18 recruiting allegations. These happened under former head coach Jeremy Pruitt, and alleges that his wife was involved as well. I mean, Dan, the financial amount of these violations was not that big. So just how stupid is this entire thing?
Best part is his wife was a former compliance director when she worked at Florida State and Troy. So you have a former compliance director allegedly making car payments for recruits, which I don't think you have to be a compliance director. You can be a casual college sports fan to know that probably is against the rules, right? It was amazing. It's only $60,000, but obviously they do it because it works, or they think it's going to work. But first, these were done. A lot of these visits were done, they didn't hide it at all. Like, there were hotel rooms with the coaches' names on it. And credit card bills with the coaches' credit cards and things like that. Really dumb stuff. Communications not done on burner phones. Really basic NCAA cheating 101 that Tennessee should be far better schooled in. But, like, first off, they were taking visits during, like, the COVID dead period. So, like, every school in the country is like, okay, no one's allowed to make recruiting visits because of COVID, right? Then, even if it wasn't COVID, these were still during the so-called dead period of the recruiting calendar. So you're not allowed to have anyone on for COVID. Then you're not allowed to have everyone on anyway. And then when you have them on, you're not allowed to give them a hotel room, buy them meals, take them out to things. So they just kept, like, piling on the violations. And, I mean, I imagine as a case, this was pretty easy for the NCAA to be like, this is all wrong. Just not a lot of wiggle room for Tennessee. Now, the beauty of college sports is this. By causing these violations, Jeremy Pruitt may lose out on his $12.6 million buyout. So the University of Tennessee was actively participating in the investigation of their own violations because it will help them beat a $12.6 million buyout. That's college football at its finest.
That is so great. And then it's not so great for a reason I'll get into in a moment. Dan Wetzel is joining us. One more thing about the allegations. We're also talking about things like, you know, the hotel rooms, the airline tickets. However, a trip to the Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies, a $225 bill at a nail salon, $225 at McDonald's. I mean, things like that. Your point is also extremely well taken, that they actively are involved so they can get out of paying him, so they're helping investigate. But if that's the case and that's the way we're going, are we not concerned, Dan, that we're going to lose some of the awesomeness and weirdness of cheating scandals like this?
I am terrified we're going to lose them because they drive so many great storylines and high comedy through the years and put these characters out there. But even with name, image, and likeness, you still can't pay someone's car ticket, right, or to car tab. There are still rules that are in place of what you can and can't do. So some of these, a million restaurants they went to, you know, Chick-fil-A breakfasts and stuff like that, which in fairness, pretty good breakfast, you know, that might do it. It might swing you. But all the different antics on this thing. I mean, the penguin show at that aquarium in Gatlinburg, really good, Rome, really good. You should check it out. You can see why that's the one. It doesn't take much to realize why Tennessee stunk, other than to know this was how they were trying to get the recruits.
Well, no, I understand. Right, exactly. That tells you why they stunk and why they sucked. What it doesn't tell me is why they hired Pruitt in the first place. And even more importantly, Dan, how absurd was it that they gave this guy a raise after his second year?
Well, they hired Pruitt because the fans decided to revolt that Greg Schiano wasn't a good enough coach. So they ran out the athletic director who tried to hire Greg Schiano, and they basically let the fans make the hire, and they hired Jeremy Pruitt, who wasn't in any way capable of being a head coach, and that came out, and then you have all of this that follows from it, and they brought back, because they fired John Curry, their AD, they brought back Phil Fulmer to be the AD, and for reasons no one understands, after 2 years, he gave Pruitt a contract extension. Not like anybody on earth was going to try to hire him away. Gave him anyway, and that's what built up this huge buyout. But then in the end, they're going to get bailed out on the bad contract extension and buyout because Pruitt and his wife were out there spending money on everybody. So, according to the NCAA report. So again, it's a circle of nonsense that is just so uniquely college football. You don't have to be a volunteer fan to laugh at it. And actually, if they get out of the money, even the volunteer fans are kind of laughing at it.
A circle of nonsense, Dan Wetzel joining us. I mean, such a circle of nonsense that I haven't even gotten to the real stuff. But before I let you go, let's see some of the real stuff. Not that that's not real right there, because that is. But part of the changes in college sports are involving USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. It's clear what they bring to the Big Ten, Dan, in terms of revenue and recruiting. But how do you see them fitting into the Big Ten from an identity standpoint? I guess what I'm asking you is this. Is there enough Bush Light in Southern California for you to declare it Big Ten country?
Well, look, there's a perception. You live in Southern California. There's a perception that it's just craft beers or fancy cocktails out in California.
Fair.
But California's a big place, big diverse place. So is in LA. There's plenty of Bush Light getting sold, plenty of Natty Light, plenty of Big Ten style beers out there. They'll fit in quite well. I think it'll work. It'll take a little getting used to, but especially UCLA, but even in some ways USC. There are so many Big Ten alums in L.A. that they are going to sell out their stadium probably every now. Maybe a little bit like the L.A. Chargers, where there's a whole lot of Wisconsin fans at the Rose Bowl for a UCLA game. But if you're trying to make money and stuff the coffers of the athletic department, like having every game against these huge Big Ten schools, where collectively millions of Big Ten alums live in the city, is a huge benefit. So I think it'll take a little adjustment, but I have faith in the Bruins and the Trojans. They'll get in on the fun.
No, you're right about that. We have a son who goes to Wisconsin. I was at that Rose Bowl game. There was a whole lot of red. So you're right about that. Let me ask you this: how badly would the Big Ten like to add Notre Dame? And then this time around, how do you see Notre Dame approaching all of this?
So they would like to add Notre Dame because Notre Dame is the one school out there that's not in the ACC that has real value in terms of television. And part of what taking UCLA and USC did was not just add the LA market and improve the television draw of the Big Ten. It also decimated the Pac-12, which was as these networks go to look for college football inventory. The Big Ten was the big fish that was out there because the SEC is already tied up. So everyone's trying to bid on the Big Ten, but you could make a case that the old Pac-12 with USC and UCLA was a pretty good plan B, not a bad alternative. But when you strip them down, you increase your demand by limiting the supply because the new Pac-12 doesn't have nearly the draw that it had. So now these television networks are even more desperate to get in on the Big Ten package. So it's like a dueling way to rise your revenue. It's like if there's two houses in the neighborhood, not only do you add an addition, but you tear down their addition and their house looks worse, your house becomes more valuable. So that was part of it. They would love to get Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is not going to go unless they believe that their access to the college football playoff, they have to join a conference to maintain that access. They should get a nice number from NBC when they renegotiate their deal, which is up in a couple years. Will it be as high as the Big Ten? No. Will it be, you know, let's say the Big Ten schools are getting $100 million. Could they get 60 or 70? We'll see. If it's close enough, and that could be even 30% below, Notre Dame has enough money to cover that. They're not going to worry about it. They don't have as big of an athletic department as, say, Ohio State or Michigan. Notre Dame has tons of money. No one's ever been on the campus of Notre Dame and said, boy, this place is poor. So they can make up the revenue gap. I mean, they literally paint their most famous building gold. So they can make up the revenue. What they need is access to that playoff because if they have access, they can recruit. And if they can recruit, they can do well. It's the biggest thing in recruiting is can you win the championship? Gonzaga basketball recruits an NBA lottery pick every single year. Even though it's in the West Coast Conference, even though it's way up in Eastern Washington, because they Mark Few can say, hey, look, you can go to the NBA and you can go to the Final Four here. That's enough. It's not that much different for Notre Dame. So as long as Marcus Freeman's out there saying we can win the title, we can play in the playoff, and you can go to the NBA, NFL, we're going to be fine. So they're not going to get Notre Dame unless that playoff thing changes or the money doesn't come in for the Irish. And the way Notre Dame's program is rolling right now, I expect that money to come in for the Irish.
Dan Wetzel, my guest. Extremely well said. Dan, one last thought, if you don't mind. So when you talk about a neighborhood with two houses, the two best houses, then you got the other teardowns, what about the neighborhood overall? Like, are we talking about when you look at SEC expansion and Big Ten expansion, are we not speeding towards a neighborhood where there's just two houses? I mean, two massive conferences for college football and then a bunch of other conferences and schools that just really don't matter at all.
Absolutely. We went from, you know, at one point we had the Power Six, which included the Big East, and then that got torn down. And then you still had the Big Ten, the SEC, obviously, you had the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12. It was the Power Five. Well, now we're looking towards the Power Two. And whereas the ACC is a little bit behind competitively, and then the Pac-12 and Big 12 are trying to hold themselves up, but they've lost it. So we're moving closer and closer to just two conferences, and you could see it set up, you know, where, you know, do you have 20 or 22 teams in each of those two leagues, and you basically have an AFC versus an NFC, and you play in a Super Bowl. You know, is that how you do it? The SEC has a playoff one day, and the Big Ten has a playoff, and then you meet in the Super Bowl. All of that's the kind of stuff that television executives want because they give you huge numbers, 6 million viewer games, 8 million, 12 million, 14. They're trying to create an NFL light. For everyone who just loves college football in totality, this is not what you want. The people like me who love the sport in that way, we want Washington State to be competitive and have a chance. We want Blue Turf and Boise. We want the TCU and SMU to have a rivalry game. We want all of it, all the mayhem. We want Iowa State to matter in different ways. It doesn't mean they're ever going to win the championship or beat Alabama, but right now we have 130 schools competing for one championship. They come from all shapes and sizes, big cities, small states, military academies, religious institutions, little private schools, big state schools. It's the chaos that makes it so much fun in totality. And that's running counter to what the TV guys are trying to say is, I don't care about a television game that only cracks 500,000. I need more 5 million. I get that, but that's where the balance between business and what the tradition of the sport really is. That's a very fine line to walk for these guys.
It's amazing stuff. Such good stuff. And we did not even get to what I wanted to ask you about the Patriots, so I would encourage the listeners. Dan Wetzel's got a great column up about Bill Belichick right now at Yahoo Sports. You want to check that out, too. He is a Yahoo Sports columnist, a New York Times bestselling author, and EP on the Aaron Hernandez Netflix doc, and many other things. Bush Light enthusiast as well. Dan, really appreciate you. Great job as always. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rom. Always fun.
You're the best, dude. Always fun. And then I'll do my normal Wetzel disclaimer. I think pound for pound, he is the best sports columnist in America because of his range and his depth. Dan Wetzel writes the hell out of anything and everything and then shows up like that. You know, there's certain guys that can write the hell out of things, and then there's certain guys who can write the hell out of anything and everything, but it doesn't mean they show up like that for a podcast or a show. And he does. That's an extremely talented individual. Always great content. Really quickly, before I go to break, going back to Eli, I love that you clones understood the magnitude of that moment. The way he came out and started the show. Now, if you know anything about him, and Dan Wetzel does, of course, he's hilarious. But if you know anything about Eli, you know that this is how this guy goes. But even for him, that was next level material. Stephen S.A. even got it. Stephen S.A. even got it. Jaime, two things. Number one, I almost choked on my spit listening to that. Number two, put Eli in the smack off. I could, and he'd do well. Generally, when I put coaches in the smack off, it does not go well. No names mentioned. Jim Harbaugh. Eli, though, could handle it. At, in case you're missing or wondering what we're talking about, Eli Drinkwitz came on the program at the top of the hour, and he started our conversation this way.
Man, I'm doing better than you are. You sound like crap, but you got an opportunity to display some toughness today, Jim, and that's really what fall camp's all about, isn't it?
Dude, so good. It was so good. Like, if that was the best thing he said in the entire interview, I would have been thrilled with the interview, except it wasn't even close to the best thing that he said in the entire interview, because he immediately chased that with this.
I was going to say this too, Jim. I thought you were going to introduce my record, but with the latest allegations against Tennessee, let's hold up on what my record is, because I expected to vacate some wins, and that's going to help my record a little bit.
My man. Incredible. At John Worcester tweets, WTF was that? Hit the music, Rome. Eli earned 3 golden tickets with that opening. War firing off cheater blast from the get-go. Unwar drinking vinegar. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
You think I want to drink vinegar? I already said it tastes like ass. If I'm drinking vinegar, there's a reason I'm drinking vinegar, and it's not to be cool or different or to get you to look at me. I'm drinking it because I sound like crap. I feel sort of like crap, and I don't want to, John. So I'm willing to try almost anything to get through the show. Unwar drinking vinegar. Thanks, John. That helps.
Hey, John.
Sam in Grand Rapids. Great interview with Coach Drinkwitz. Coach came out of the gate on fire. Wore the Hall of Famer sounding like crap, but playing through the pain. Geoff and Lincoln. I'm going to be very honest with you. in years past because this job is so awesome and because I feel like I've got this obligation, responsibility. I've always, since I got into the business, my mindset's always been, if I don't do it, somebody else will. I mean, partly paranoia, right? And partly insecurity. Like, I better not take shows off because somebody else might get the opportunity and they might decide they like that person better than me. So that. And two, I take pride in being available. Availability is your best ability. So I always just work through everything. Unless I had full-blown laryngitis and I couldn't speak at all, I was going to work no matter what. And I got to be honest, when I was younger, I wasn't as concerned about the impact it had on people around me. I would just grind it out. You know, get prescription meds if the doctor deemed it necessary. Get over-the-counter meds, get cough drops, whatever. Just get through it until COVID. And then COVID changed everything because then it's not about you. Then it's about everybody else. And I don't want to get anybody else sick. And I want to be responsible. So, yes, I would normally, I mean, no brownie points or credit for grinding through. But you can't just grind through anymore when you have to make sure that you don't have the vid. I don't have the vid. How do I know this? I test all the time because I don't want to get the vid. So that's not what that is. I just sound like hell. So, hence the vinegar. Uh-oh. Abigail was in. Abigail was directing this at Cindy. Cindy, could we get a little apple cider vinegar? Our throats hurt like hell, too. Signed, Ron and Nicole. Abby?
War Lady Clone.
You've sent a lot of whack bleep to me, Abby, and I always let it slide. Because I like you. I love female participation on this show. I wish we had more. But I appreciate what we have. And I appreciate you, Abby. And you've sent me some really crude stuff before, Abby, and I still appreciate you. But Abby, you're so much better than that. Abby, you are so much better than that. You are so much better than that. There's so many clones that are not better than that. Abigail, do not let them drag you down to their level. I'm going to forgive that one thing of you, Abby, because you have so much goodwill in the bank. But you are better than that. When we return, hey, I'm still here. And I sound pretty damn good. Maybe it is the vinegar. Rhett Lashley is the head football coach at SMU. That's coming up next hour. I want to finish my thoughts on Jerry Jones and the fact that he's on a schedule. A schedule of being in the ground sooner than later.
And schedule.
I'm not being morbid. I mean, he's admitting it.
It ain't on my schedule.
What he said is not on his schedule?
It ain't on my schedule.
He can't have. He said it's a bad time to have a bad time because, quote, it ain't on my schedule.
It ain't on my schedule.
What he's saying is losing is not on his schedule.
It ain't on my schedule.
Getting to the playoffs and getting blown out and having the game end with the clock running out is not on his schedule.
It ain't on my schedule.
It ain't. So that's a blast at you, Mike. You ain't on his schedule.
It ain't on my schedule.
I got to finish that thought. All right, when we come back, that and more. But first, here is your sports update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So this dude cracks me up. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Sounding better? Feeling pretty good? George Campbell writes, hey, Rome, nice work. Pulling a scratchy voice right before vacation. Let us know how the lake in northern Wisco is tomorrow. Is DA on a flight to SoCal as we speak? That's funny, actually. Truth is, I'm not setting it up. That's not one of those, hey, the NCAA tournament is coming up, so what you want to do is go around work. This is pre-COVID where I'd say go around work, start setting it up with a scratchy throat and a cough and say, yeah, I don't know, I'm not feeling too good. And by the time the first games roll around on Thursday, you've already set the table. You're sick. They know you're sick. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not trying to cut out and start my vacation early because, for one, my vacation already started 2 weeks ago. Week and a half ago. I've already had 2 weeks off. And number two, I'm going to get two more weeks off. I don't need the extra day or two. So, no. I'm not setting it up. I'm not faking this illness. I'm not setting it up so I can be on the lake tomorrow. DA is not on his way out here. No, I really am actually sort of sick. That's funny, though. Let's go to the lake. Everyone, do you enjoy pain? Jim, pain don't hurt.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
Signed, Nate in Beantown, U. And Randy Messenger tweets, vacating wins is the only way Drinkwater will beat Tennessee. We hung 60 on him last year in his own decrepit building, and none of the paid players participated. They all transferred. War Big Orange. Hey, Vol fan, I can appreciate that. Just as you can appreciate Pruitt was probably the worst hire ever. And those violations were like the dumbest violations ever. And his wife was formerly a compliance officer and she cheated is one of the most incredible things ever. But go ahead and celebrate that big win. That's funny. All right, then. Wow. Where do I go? Let's go to, if you're on hold, stay there. Do not hang up. There's a good chance you're getting on the air. If not this segment, then at the top of the hour. From somebody with a great voice to somebody else with an equally great voice, let us go to Knoxville. Mona in Knoxville takes one to no one. Mona knows a great voice when she hears one. Mona, what's going on?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm so great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And I don't think you need any vinegar or anything. You sound great.
Not as good as you sound, Mona. You sound amazing.
As for Jeremy Pruitt, those fans, those of us fans who did not want him to be hired in the first place, are laughing all the way to Neyland Stadium this fall.
You know it, Mona. I haven't heard one word you said, though, after you said I sound great. You're so right. And what you think matters most of all, Mona. Nice job. Rack her, by the way. I'm this close to giving her a golden ticket. What Mona said was, we never wanted Jeremy Pruitt in the first place, so we're all laughing right now. How unbelievably rich and awesome is it that somebody with a voice as amazing as Mona told me that I sound great? You rule, Mona. The only thing that would have made that better is if you mixed in some of your legendary Brad smack. You make sure she gets racked, Alvin. I mean, I'm feeling good about me. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Like I said, the only thing better would have been if she had gone in on the BIC the way she has in the past. All right, when we come back. That was so great. Mona telling me my voice sounds great. She's right. Not as good as hers, though. Do not hang up. If you're on hold, I'm going to get a phone call in next hour, top of the hour. Stay tuned.